This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and if you do not have a section of your closet dedicated to costumes or wigs, we cannot be friends.
I'm Brandy Posey, and man, it'd be nice to be haunted by a ghost instead of some shit I said to a stranger the other day.
I'm Tess Barker, and you know, you can just wear a bikini at home.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Oh my god, did you catch us on Best Brunch Ever this last Sunday? If you didn't, you can catch it, it'll be rerunning. We made a freaking America's Funniest Home Videos episode where we introduce people getting hit in the nuts and stuff.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. We didn't even have to get hit in the nuts. It was great.
No. We just got to introduce it.
Yeah.
And it's on Pluto. You can get it on the Always Funny channel, and we'll have a link in our bio. So go click on there to get a direct thing to the channel, and we'll hopefully find out other times it's playing, but it's great. It was super fun. And you know.
Yeah.
And say we crushed it.
We crushed it and we worked completely clean. So if you have kids, you can even watch it with your kids.
Oh my God. The one thing you can absorb with us in it.
Girls, I'm sending this to all the nieces, everybody. They're so excited to be able to see what I do.
Yes. Finally. We'll have an answer to what exactly do you do.
Exactly.
Yes. And it's introduced it nut shots. So yeah.
The pinnacle of entertainment. I love it. Hell yeah. Also, I'm about to be on the road a whole bunch. So come see me. I will be in Albuquerque on October 19th. I will be in Asheville, North Carolina, October 22nd. October 23rd, Charlotte, North Carolina. October 26th, Jacksonville, Florida. I'll be at the Fest on October 28th and 29th. Halloween, I'll be in New Orleans, not doing shows, but if you see me, say hi. And then November 2nd, I will be in Austin at the Altercation Comedy Festival. I'm co-headlining a show with Kate Willett, and it's going to be a blast.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Oh, and then also second week in November, I will be in St. Louis. We're doing Picture This at the Flyover Comedy Festival. So I'm coming to places, probably hopefully near you. Come say hi.
And if you're listening to this the weekend of October 13th, 14th, I'll be up in Truckee, California, like Tahoe, doing shows. That's going to be super fun. So check out my Instagram for deets on that.
Hell yeah. Okay. And I'm working out some stuff for this fall. So stay tuned to my Twitter when I actually get my shit together and have dates. I'll tell you where I'm going to be.
We're all a little busy.
Everything is stay tuned till we get our shit together. Brandy's always got her shit together.
That's
but
true. We have our shit together in different ways.
Yeah, you guys do too. You're doing everyone's doing everything.
All at once.
Yes.
Yes, we are a turducken of comedy. Let's introduce our episode this week. We had so much fun with our guest.
Absolutely. You can find him on so many podcasts. Tess and I have both been on the Drag Her podcast, yelling about Drag Race. And then he also has a great show on Patreon with Betsy Sidaro called We Love Trash. Enjoy our conversation with Mono Agapian.
Oh my God. Let's just jump in to hang out with our guest. We're already having so much fun. Mono Agapian, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I always love guests that, like, you can tell it's going to be a good guest when, like, you want to, like, you start hanging out and you're like, I know we're supposed to, like, hang out for, like, the podcast, right, but we also, like, want to hang out.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. I was like, I'm so sorry. It's when like you're like talking derails the beginning of the podcast.
Yes.
Save it for the mic.
Yep. It was pretty fun. We were talking about being annoying Americans who go somewhere and then like we suddenly like turn into the Devil Wears Prada character. You know what I mean? Like we suddenly were like,
darling, you must.
Yeah. If you haven't summered in Tokyo, darling, have you lived?
We were actually all told we had an astrocartographer on the show who told us where we should visit, and she told all of us we should go to Japan together.
Yes.
Oh, good. Go to Japan. Japan's unbelievable.
Really? Did you go to Tokyo?
I've been to Tokyo. My partner's Japanese, and it's unbelievable. Japan's unbelievable. It is also, I hate to say this because we're just talking about this, but it's a country that will make you mad at America because you're like, God damn, it could be like this.
That's always tough.
Cared about each other and people were polite, and if the government spent money on us instead of defense contracts, we could have a lot of nice things.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Japan.
I know this is like the most go to Japan. Also, I did want to say this when you brought up Devil Wears Prada. I rewatched it a couple weekends ago, and needless to say, still one of the best movies of all time. And yes. I think so often about that Cerulean Blue monologue. And this most recent rewatch, I was like, this is literally a metaphor for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it's such a poignant monologue. She's literally explaining how everything works.
I love that. It's almost like maybe you love it too because, like, as artists, you know, it's like it's a monologue that, like, kind of like heralds artists like us. You know what
that's
I mean? It's like
so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Like, I actually, in all honesty, like, I think there is something like that goes from like a show like Drag Race. Like, the aesthetic of Drag Race is the aesthetic of Barbie. Like, you guys think pink is in the fucking zeitgeist because Barbie just brought it? No, no, no. We had Drag Race, Free Britney, and then Barbie. Okay?
Yeah. We did a lot of work for
Britney. We're picking that shade.
Yeah.
We did a lot of work. And now Britney's bringing knives into fashion.
Oh, my God.
Knives are couture now, honey. I never thought.
Her fucking sister posted like a video of her on Dancing with the Stars the same time that Britney posted that video, Dancing with Knives. And I was like, I can't.
If you told me when I was a kid that the future was Britney dancing with knives and men in gray sweatpants, I would say the future sucks. But here we are.
It's true. I feel like gray sweatpants are sort of the men's version of the low-rise jean.
I hate them. I hate that the internet is just like filled with these basic ass men who are just like putting my stupid little dick in gray sweatpants.
They love
is
them.
Enough.
They think so.
Yeah.
And as a straight woman, it has to be enough. And can I tell you guys, speaking of this, of being married to a straight man, my husband, like, he has this new job where he's like on camera every week, you know? Okay. So I stopped shopping for him like 2 years. I was like, no, you also need to try things on. Like, because I don't really like it either. Honestly, I try shit on because that's the only way I know if that bathing suit is going to look good on me.
Wait, I'm sorry. He wasn't trying things on before, or what happened?
No, because he gave so little of a shit, or thought he did, that he was like, just bring back whatever.
Okay, I see.
And he thought that was, but really, because it looked like shit, because I was buying it without him trying it, he didn't like it, so that's why I stopped. But he keeps telling me, he's like, and also because like going shopping with him, like we went to Nordstrom's and he was like, okay, I want something without a collar, no pockets, no pattern, no buttons. And I'm like, so you want more black t-shirts?
Yeah.
But just get the Kirkland pack.
I know, but I know. But that won't work. It needs to be like a nice J. Crew fitted. That's the thing. He thinks it's Kirkland. He needs a J. Crew fitted, and that is a straight man situation.
He needs to do like a bro-y Albert Einstein, because Einstein just wore the same thing every day in a closet full of the same outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean just needs to get like 10 of the exact same thing, and that's just it. Right?
Well, he's trying for sure. So basically what happens, he has this new job, and he kept saying, because he wears a baseball cap on camera, which I'm like, whatever, I give up. And he's like, he keeps being like, I need a shirt to match my hat. I need a shirt to match my hat. And finally I was like, wait, hold on. He was saying that to me for like a week. And then I was like, have you thought about buying a second hat? And it went off like a light bulb. He was like, oh yeah, I could get a hat in a different color.
Also, hat and shirt matching, I don't know if that's ever been a thing.
No. No one needs that.
Well, yeah. To his credit, he correctly identified that black and navy is a faux pas unless you know what you're doing.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But I mean, matching shirt and hat, that gives me Tweedledee and Tweedledum from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you want that.
Okay, I should translate for him. He's saying I need a shirt to match my hat. What he's trying to say is a shirt that doesn't look horrific with this baseball hat. Yeah.
Yes. What kind of hat? Like plain black baseball hat with a plain black.
Yeah. It's very weird. It's very hot dog on a stick.
Matchy-matchy. Dude, how sexy were those outfits? I wanted one. Oh, yeah. So
those
bad.
Are like sexy Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
That was sexy Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, I actually do now want to see, as much as I hate male thoughts, I now want to see two male thoughts dressed like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Sounds hot. Halloween's just around the corner if you're looking for it.
Oh, yes. We're here. I love it. Do y'all do Halloween? Do you dress up anymore? Like
I'm doing it this year. Like I go back and forth, but I was like, all right, this year I'm like really committing. I'm going to have a Halloween party. So therefore,
If there's an event, that's great. Then for sure, I think. Yeah. Like I'm going to be in New Orleans. So, you know.
That's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay. That's a real reason.
What about you, Mano? Are you going to dress up?
No, only because I'm doing a drag show on October 13th.
Okay.
So that's my dress up. I'm going to get into it. I can't. That'll be fun. Come see Bad Drag Race at the Dynasty Typewriter. I host it with Oscar Montoya. That'll be me dressing up, and then I'll be like, I feel like I'll have done it.
That's the thing. These people that have like multiple weekends, multiple costumes, like I'm just not there.
No,
I'm honestly probably going to get there soon, so I'm just warning you.
Okay, I like it for you.
I realize that I just like, you know, I have a big event every few months that I just really go all in on. So like I have my birthday that I was like, so now the Halloween party's next and I just keep like thinking about it. But I also am supposed to go on Let's Make a Deal soon. I don't even know what you're talking about. Who cares?
Emailed me too. I just didn't respond.
I responded. I'm supposed to do it next week.
That's fun.
But you have to wear costumes for it. And like watching the show, I assumed they give you a costume because it looks very like they look all like kind of store. No,
it's very Rite Aid. Yeah.
Yes. You have to provide your own.
Oh, that sucks.
And so like the lady's been like up my ass about what costume.
Really? I hate that too.
No.
Yeah.
So that is so like wardrobe. That is so wardrobe department.
Yeah.
To be so what is your job then? What is your job?
Oh, I know.
Making sure I bring harass things.
Exactly. I drive a Nissan Versa. You want me to bring 30 choices into my Nissan Versa?
Yeah, exactly. You get the pet hair off of them then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought like some really cheap flamingo head thing from Target but I also want to make, I do think it'd be fun to make a spaghetti and meatballs costume.
Wow.
So that's
ambitious.
Like
little meatball hat is what you're
meatball hat okay, with great. Yarn basically. So I might like be getting into that today.
Wow. That's ambitious. I love that.
You know, it seems ambitious, but I don't know if I think it's like easy because it's just kind of like throwing a bunch of yarn onto a thing. So I think it'll be like hopefully easier than. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll see.
This is I mean, you're talking to three people who watch a lot of Drag Race.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. These challenges.
And people always think it's easier than it is.
Easier. Can we get a camera in the corner and maybe a timer for this costume?
Yes. Great. I'll do a,
do
whatever
it
is, montage.
Yes. Patreon exclusive.
Yes.
I am bad at clothes. I have to, Tessa, you're talking about your partner and like, I am that. I am your partner in the relationship.
Are you?
I am. I'm not good at clothes. So like my husband is very good at clothes. And now I've entered the phase of marriage, which I never thought would happen. But here we are, where my husband dresses me like a doll. Like,
oh, that's lovely. But you like it. He chooses well for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets it. And I don't get it. I just don't have the mental capacity for it. So, like, I genuinely enjoy it. But I feel like a sitcom husband who's like, whoa, duh, what do I wear? Duh. Like, and I'm
where's the butter?
Yeah. We got to pick up the kids every day. I'm that husband now. And I'm like, oh, God, I never saw this coming. But here we are.
Does he dress you to like accessorize his outfit or?
No, he's just like, because I dress like kind of like an adult baby.
I like that.
Kind of like bright, goofy kind of. I've always dressed that way. And he's like, maybe a nice neutral, maybe a pair of pants that fits you instead of these shorts that your ass is eating. And I'm like, okay, this is good. I need this.
That's great, though. I would totally outsource that if I could. So
yeah, that's a big benefit of like long-term partnership is like, honestly, like I think it's like, oh, we feel like you need to be so self-sufficient, but it's like, no, that's why people couple up is because some people need someone else to pick out their pants for them.
Totally.
I would actually love to do a challenge where my boyfriend buys clothes for me.
Oh, my God. Because
he has good taste. Like, I like how he dresses. Taste. But, like, but dressing a body with big tits is just, like, such another world.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I would love to see what he thought would fit.
Right.
It would
that
be
is so funny.
Be a fun game. Be like, go get a shirt and let's see what it really looks like.
That is funny. Yeah, big tits are a whole thing. Like, and you feel like they're rarely represented on a clothing website, right?
Oh, no.
Like, even the ones that say they're for big tits, you're like, this is not.
They're still like a C or something, and you're like, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we can't all wear wrap dresses, honey. Not at all. We're done.
The myth of the wrap dress is so insidious. And yes. I feel like with stuff that's like super booby, I think really it needs to be like very tailored. It is not like a small, medium, large situation. Like in order for it to look, it can look awesome, but it's so, the chances are so low that your fucking H&M bullshit is going to be flattering on anyone's tits.
Yeah, it gets to linebacker shoulders very quickly in the large boob realm. I just remember those like makeover shows in like the late 90s where they'd have a girl with big boobs. It would just be like three-quarter sleeve button down. That was every time they were like,
yes,
a three-quarter sleeve button down for you, I think.
A jumper romper. They're like, here's a jumper romper. Figure it out. Like, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying, Tess?
Oh, I was just thinking about the era of the three-quarters. I forgot about the button-down three-quarter sleeve. Like, we were all in our 20s dressing like we had, like, wasted our lives in a cubicle.
I know. Yeah. New York and Company was here for us at 13.
Yeah.
Demanded that you look like a young professional.
Bab, did you always have mega jumbos? Like, how long have you had mega jumbos?
You know what's so weird is I do not remember getting boobs. Isn't that?
What do you mean? I for sure do.
Yeah, I do not remember like them. Like I have a joke about a picture of me in like high school, whatever. So I definitely had them by then, but I don't remember people being like, ooh, you know, because I grew up in Salt Lake City and like people were, you're not like, it was not like a sexualized, nobody was sexualizing anyone there because they're all, you know.
So you never had that like teenage experience of like having big boobs and having adults like creep out on you?
Right.
Not that I knew. They probably did, but I did not recognize it. And never wore anything that like showed them off. You know?
Right. Yeah, they took it home to go sin with. They're just like, I'm gonna go whisper into my bathroom.
Yes.
But yeah, I think also when I went to college and I gained weight is when they got like really big and it was like, woo, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah.
I have such like formative, I think obviously as a boy I just have like so much privilege, but like I remember feeling the pain. I have a cousin who had jumbos at like 13 and like I was like, let's go to the water park. thinking nothing of it. And of course, it was a truly tumultuous day for her because not only was she like, do I wear a shirt? Do I cover them? How do I mitigate people looking at my jumbos when I'm just trying to enjoy a water park? And it really like broke my heart to be like, wow, like that's a whole world I can't understand.
I like very specific. I had like a breast reduction years ago and I had huge boobs before that. And I very specifically remember in like seventh grade going to Busch Gardens on a marching band, or not on a marching band trip, but like a band trip, a concert band trip, and like going down the water slides and it being like the moment that Monica Lotta was like, wow. Wow, Brandy. I remember like in my head, she was screaming that I had big boobs now. And I was like, why are we talking about this? And, like, most of my friends were guys at that point. And it was just like, it was like, man, come on. Don't be fucking weird about any of this.
That sucks.
Hated them from that point on. It was
There's nothing we love more as adolescents than just shouting about people's body parts. At them.
Yeah, totally. And like, I think like boys like get to like, I don't know. I want you to hear what you think, but like, It's unfortunately why women mature so much faster because they have this, they have to confront this. It's on your chest. Whereas like little nasty boys, we get to put our dick in our pants and kind of like have some privacy. Whereas like women have to just live out loud and be like, yep, my boobs are growing and there isn't that many ways to hide this.
No, 1,000,000%. That's exactly how it feels. And I thought that, but it's like as if, imagine if your dick was right under your chin. Like just imagine how that would feel. Like imagine if if when you went and tried to like read a book in public, you just had a boner sticking out of your chin. And and people were trying to be polite and not look at it. And some people were really trying not to talk to you, but frankly, you do have a boner on your chin. And that's how it feels. And you can try and like it, and like you can try to strap it down. You can try to like you know, you can do, but it's there. There's only so much rapping you can do.
Yeah.
Right. And you're punished either way, right?
You're punished either way.
If I own my body and I feel comfortable with my breasts, I'm a slut.
Yeah.
And then if I hide them, I'm delusional.
1,000,000%. Yeah. And like also like the clothes, especially when we were in high school, it was like I always got in trouble for dress code infractions. Like, I have big boobs, but I also, like, I have always my midriff was showing, always my whale tail was showing. But it was like, this is the only clothes at the mall. Like, everything is a baby tee at Wet Seal. I don't know.
Yeah, this is what they made us.
This is what they made us.
Yeah. Oh, God. I saw on TikTok that dresses over jeans were being advertised somewhere. Mm-mm, and I was like, please, God, we can't go back
there. It's all back, man.
Pabs and Brandy, did you guys ever dress over jeans?
No. Never. I think some of the Mormon girls did, but
no.
Did you, Tess?
Of course. Of course she did. Yeah. That was what she did when she got in trouble for the whale tail. You go home and pretty put a dress over jeans.
Yeah. Well, I had a couple like cute slutty sundresses that transitioned seamlessly into fall just by putting
dress over jeans.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible. Comfortable. I'm not gonna lie, that sounds comfy cozy.
That's the thing. I will say, like, a sundress, I mean, everyone probably already knows this, but like it's everyone, like, every time I wear one, people are like, excuse me, wow. Like, and it's like, really? I'm just literally wearing pajamas in daylight.
Mm-hmm.
I love a sundress. It's the best hack.
Yeah, it's like a 90s muumuu. It's nice. Mm-hmm. We're able to.
Can I have a, sorry, this is a total tangent, but it's just something that happened to me this morning and I want to share.
Please.
Share for the class.
I got rejected by the trash collector.
What
happened?
So I'm like,
sexually?
Oh, you're heartbroken. I'm so sorry about this.
I know. Or the, I don't know if he's the, it was, or it was the green bin. It was the green bin guy. But so
the compost,
you know,
guy.
Okay, so look, I'm trying to dig a hole in the front yard. It's been a whole thing.
That, with no context, what a scary sentence. It's happening. Why?
And the way you said it, as though you've been hounded by people, like as if everyone has their pitchforks out, like I know.
What?
We have a front area that we are trying to DIY into some kind of nice, I'm trying to make a little patio. But I realized that you have to dig a few inches down, and I was like, oh, there's, what do I do with dirt? There's so much dirt, and you have to like pay someone to haul that away. I'm trying to do it with no money, so I'm trying to siphon the dirt into the green bin amounts Smart. At a time that yeah. they will take them.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And the last time I put a lot of dirt in there, I was like, oh, I can't put this in here. So I took a bunch of it out. But then somebody on my Instagram said, no, it's fine, put the dirt in there. So I did. And it was really heavy, but they took it. But today, Adam was like, oh, wait, he's trying to pick it up, but it's not working. And I looked out there and it was too heavy. And then he just left a little note on it.
No.
Oh, no.
So like handwritten?
It was like a notice like that they have. Okay. Like a, they stick on people's things who are, they're probably going to be like, we can't take this. So now I have to dig into the green bin and get the dirt
out.
Oh,
my God.
That's like a hole within a hole. Man.
Yeah. No, Babs, I think it will be easier if we can just hire a U-Haul, put your green bin onto the U-Haul, drive it out to the desert, and yeah. leave it there.
Shoot it.
And
yeah.
shoot it.
Yeah, shoot it. Dig a hole there and put it in. And leave that desert dirt there. It's just okay. more
Because, like, I know you're probably already thinking about this. I'm probably stating the obvious, but, like, the green bin is, like, the grossest one.
Yeah.
Is that, it? That's gross. Ours isn't that gross. Ours isn't that gross. It's brand, it's like very new.
Okay, do you compost?
It will get.
Yeah.
We do, but like it's not that gross. I don't know. It's because it's mostly branches and dirt.
Do people ever put dog shit in there or no? Do you know what I'm saying?
Not in ours because ours is like down a alley thing. Okay. But I'm sure in other ones, yes.
What's your hot take?
Oh, I just was like, can't you? That was, I don't know if that, I lied. That was not a hot take.
Do you think dog shit is compostable?
Shit is gross. Hot take. Shit's nasty. But can't you like call someone to pick something up specifically? Can't you like call the city to be like, you have to come get this?
Not dirt, yeah. though. I don't
not,
think
not they take dirt. Not
I don't dirt? Think they take dirt.
What if you got a mattress and filled it with dirt?
Okay, I like
try
this.
That.
I like that too.
We'll take that. A mattress.
I'll look into it, everyone. I'll look into it. All I know is I looked out there today and it was not happening.
Buy a mannequin. Fill it with your dirt.
Yes.
Order a lift for the mannequin. And then get that lift to drop off the mannequin at the dumpster.
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Easy. And easier.
Anyway, sounds like the hole's going well, Babs.
It's going great, everyone. We're gonna take a break. I'm gonna go check on the hole. We'll take a break.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
Am I mono?
I think so.
Wee.
That's me.
Mono, we're going to, well, it's sort of a game. It's, okay. It's a questionnaire from James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio.
Okay.
Oh, that God, we cleverly have called Inside the Lady.
Yes.
I love it.
Did you watch Inside the Actor's Studio?
Yeah. I mean, back in the die. Yeah, back in the day. We'll all answer this question. We'll all kind of say a take on the question.
It was just going to be you.
Okay.
But I'm if just, you will feel more comfortable, we can join you.
Yes.
Whatever makes you
also,
have the most fun.
I feel like we've done this in the past, and I think my answers probably will be completely different.
I love it.
I honestly don't remember what mine were. Yeah. And these are, I will say, this is one of the hard, all of our games are stupid, but this one is, this one's a thing. These ones are thinkers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm excited.
What is your favorite word?
Oh, God. It's going to be a bad word. I'm the first one that came to my mind was cunt.
I love that. I mean, that's a great word.
It's so hard and crunchy as a word. Like, I do believe that cuss words are, I mean, they're just fun. They're so fun. I grew up in a house with lots of cuss words.
Nice.
And I grew up in a house with a mom who said lots of cuss words. And I literally think, as a writer, my love of language comes from my mom's filthy mouth.
I love that. Oh,
what an honor.
I love that.
I remember, like, for example, my mom, like, she would say all kinds of wild, like, she was always experimenting with cuss words. But I remember she one time at a young age was referring to a woman. My mom is a little problematic, but referring to a woman as a slut train. And I was like, oh, that is
a great word.
It's a great word. And she's like, she's a slut train. She stops at every man in town. And I was I kind of love it. And so, yes, I've always loved vulgar words, and I've always loved how how you can kind of create vulgarity by mashing words together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
like clusterfuck. Really good one. Yeah, train.
Cock train.
Yeah. Oh my God. You throat fucker. I don't know. That's off the top of my head. That was fun.
Your mother raised
now
you
that
up.
I'm confused because you're a throat fucker. Oh, okay. No, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. A throat. Yeah. What is a throat fucker?
Throat fucker is, is someone getting a blowjob.
I think so. Yeah. Who is such a powerful, so powerful at giving the blowjob that they're somehow in the power position as a throat fucker.
Yeah. And like, you know, it's a good word when like, it's a compliment if you call one of your best friends out, like, you little throat fucker.
Yeah, I would definitely call people slut train for fun.
Oh yeah. Get your slut train ass over here and let's open this Prosecco.
Cuss words are fun.
And I don't even recognize it when I say them. They're just
I know.
There.
No. And also it feels so antiquated that we still have them. And I have long thought that it's probably doesn't make sense budget wise, but they should have like special classrooms for kids and parents who are okay with cussing.
Yeah.
God, I know. For real. Growing up, it was always like, oh, this is the house you don't say anything in.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember I have actually a core shame memory when like I said, I had this really stuffy man, Mr. Graham, I said like pissed off in front of him. And mm-hmm. I was in eighth grade. I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And maybe that is too vulgar, but the way he blew his top when I said like, oh, I'm pissed off. He was like, how dare you say that? Like, how dare you say that? And I was like, what? I was like, I guess that is bad. But also like,
I never in a million years would have thought pissed off is bad. Like,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like
part Simpson. I also love that you said blew his top, like the most innocent version of pissed off. He really... <Yeah. laughs>
His hive got shaped.
He was the kind of stuffy white man who blew his top. What did you just say? I don't think people should be. It's like word is expression. Like hate speech, bad. But like right. I think like words should be like they're creative tools. And if the more you censor kids to like not use tools of like language is like you're raising little robots.
Oh, 100%. And it also and I guess if you want to cultivate people that don't use, I probably like am a little bit too gratuitous with my. I say fuck. I love saying fuck. Right up there with cunt, like the and the like, it's such a beautiful, fun word, you know?
Yeah.
I probably overuse it, but like, if you want to get your kid to use it more judiciously, like, you're essentially taking what is already a fun word and painting like a beautiful red lacquer over that button and just writing, do not push.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to make them want to push it more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, way to take a word out of like their vocal emotional range, so where that's going to come out somewhere else, you know, maybe let them say fuck and scream fuck versus like putting a hole in your wall or something.
Yeah,
it's the equivalent.
You know.
Okay. Mono, what is your least favorite word then?
Oh God, my least favorite word. I'm going to say there's a couple that are like rolling around, but I would say it's something that's like overly. Okay. Here. Okay. I'm cheating a little bit.
That's okay. That's there's no rules.
I'm cheating a little bit and I'm pretending this is one word because sometimes people say it like one word.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind that D'YA mind?
Oh, do you mind? Because it's always like the, it always trails into my.
Yeah, it's passive, it's aggressive. Demand.
It's also saying if you say no to this, you're an asshole.
It's so manipulative.
It's that. It's the like classic like, hey, are you busy tomorrow? Not like, hey, I'm doing this tomorrow. Do you want to do it? But
yes.
The open ended thing where you're like, uh-oh, something bad's coming.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And it's also like, I guess. Fucking, I wanted to find my own version of busy. It's like, yeah, because I want to watch some Vanderpump, read my book, and jerk off. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, those things are also on the calendar, man.
Yeah.
I need time to jerk off. No, I'm with you. Just like, yeah, anything open-ended like that blows my mind. That's a really perfect way to put it. And I think do you mind is blank, is it's passive-aggressive. It's like, just say mm-hmm. something. Yeah, just say like, also, I would say like, also open with a prep is, like, if you're going to ask a question like that, don't you feel like, I feel like you have to, like, make someone feel safe to say no, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yes. Yeah, I think if you do preface it, like, something like, totally cool if you don't want to, but then you can't go into do you mind. You would say, but would you mind?
Yeah.
Or would it be okay if? Like, the do you mind mm-hmm. implies the kind of, like,
yeah.
Do you mind?
It's a dismissal of your boundaries immediately. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also sounds like a Black Eyed Peas song or something.
Like, yes. I can see
her. Be like, do you mind?
Oh, Fergie, I love.
I know.
Remember Fergie? Wow.
All the time. And it's also like, I was thinking about Fergie the other day because I was listening to that Glamorous song. Mm-hmm. And it's really crazy that she joined the Black Eyed Peas. Like, we don't really think about that or talk about that enough.
Right, because she had her own thing already going on.
Yeah,
right?
And so did they. Like, they, like...
they were doing their own thing. Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. It's just like someone... It's, yeah. It's like a solo art... Like, John... I guess what's his fuck is in the Grateful Dead, huh? But that's kind of different. But it is just weird joining a group that's already, like, established.
I don't often like to indulge Illuminati and conspiracy theories, but something about that era of pop music and specifically the Black Eyed Peas, it does feel like, do you guys want to enter a blood cabal and go from making $10,000 a year to fucking $800 million a year?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, of course.
Like, what it feels like the whole thing was exactly like, yeah. Like, it feels like the whole thing was like orchestrated at Ledoux or something. Like,
it was. It was like all of the evil men of Hollywood got into one room. David Zaslav, Harvey Weinstein, every bad executive. Dr. Luke.
Yep.
He made some crunchy beats for this evil meeting. Yeah, no. It does things like that. Yeah, those moments feel like this feels orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
1,000%.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I guess there was, that's something I sort of like about that era is it felt like living in a Target.
That's very true. It was just, it's just so marketed and like blatantly.
Yes.
A product.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have to move on, but like I sometimes think about, because being more adult now, I think this era is so like fucked in terms of like pop culture's fake, but I'm sure the adults of that era must have felt the same way.
Oh, yeah. A million percent.
I mean,
as did the adults in the Beatles era. Like, we're just the adults that don't get the Beatles now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, serious question time.
Ooh, okay.
What turns you on?
Gray sweatpants.
My first, I'm going to say dramatic tension.
I love that.
Like when, okay, so you made me think of turn on, you made me think of porn, you made me think of like when there's actually story in porn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it drives me nuts when, you know, the porn like drops the tension in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so like when we have a teacher student fantasy, problematic, sorry. but I when they like just drop the tension, it drives me nuts when they're just like, should I stay after school? You know what I mean? And there's tension here. There's tension here. And it's like, yeah, I think you should. I think you really need to improve your grades. There's tension. There's tension. And then we cut to someone getting a throat fucker, doing their thing with and the tension's gone. That drives me nuts.
No, you want the build up, and like it's nice if they can keep it, the dynamic going during it, where it's not just like, oh, we're fucking now. It's like, oh no, that's still a part. The story's still happening.
And the hero's journey applies to pornography as well. That's the thing. Like you've got to build up to that literal climax.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will say this, like, that is one thing, like, erotica that is geared towards women almost to a fault is like 95% buildup. Like, you will read a dirty book and it's like they don't fuck until page 311.
I love it. And then I've seen the second thing I love is men with no edge.
Does your partner have no edge?
None.
Oh, how cute.
None. He is the big, I love it. It truly, I think it is so sexy and cute when a man is just like, I don't like the promise of threat. I don't want neck tattoos. I like dorks. So I guess I'm saying dorks, but like something about dorky kind of like safe sleepover energy.
That's nice.
That's sweet.
That is a huge turn on for me.
I could see that. Someone you want to go to Barnes & Noble with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of the like dramatic tension, I am such a slut for like a will they won't they. If there's a will they won't they in a TV show, it gets me so often.
Same.
And I'm like, I hate that I'm so susceptible to this.
I am too. Like, I have to keep watching that more than like some meth addict dangling over a cliff in an RV. Like, I will keep watching. That's Bridgerton season one. Did you watch Bridgerton?
Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
they give it.
One of my favorite ones is New Girl when what's her fuck? Zooey Deschanel kisses her like the roommate who she has tension with for the first time. It's like one of the best kisses ever, and it's just like you've been waiting for it for so long. And that shit, I'm such a sucker for it.
Yeah. It works. And then that's when good. It goes away, it's so much harder. Like, look, we
and
all
then
it,
you're
Office.
Like, oh, it sucks now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Then we get Pam and Jim married, and no one needs
to. Like, I will say,
what happens after that?
The best Friends episode is when Ross and Rachel fuck in the museum, but the second best one is when they get drunk in Vegas later.
Ooh, I love that.
That's really good. I mean, obviously the biggest, will they, won't they of all time.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. So will they, won't they? My god. And
so good.
Even when it's shoved down your throat, you're like, okay, I'll watch. I don't care.
I mean, Sam and Diane from Cheers. I just
so good. So good. I think it's kind of like pop music in that way, where it's like they plug the numbers in and your brain's just like, fuck it.
Yes.
1,000%.
Okay, Mono.
Sporty math.
Yes. Well, then what turns you off?
What turns me off? Yes. Okay. So, okay. The simple answer is, men with edge. But there's more things that turn me off. I would say like, I was talking about this recently of like, I don't like, okay, let's talk about this. Queer men, there is, you guys know what cruising is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course. I think I don't like, there's a theater to cruising, right? Of like being quiet and giving these kind of silent stares and kind of like glaring, and I don't like that because if I'm being honest, I do think it's queer men basically, you know, reinforcing toxic masculinity.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, like when you describe being on the receiving end of it, I was like, I know about that.
Yeah. Oh, what turned you off is living. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Funnily, and I was like, I hate it. I think it's stupid. I think it's bad. I think it's like reinforcing all this bullshit. It's also reinforcing all this like these things that gay men think they need to be. It's a theater. It's a theater that was born out of gay men's necessity to hide, and now we don't have to hide. So I think I think it could be a really problematic, bad part of our community that I think should probably be challenged. Mm. Yeah. Or if nothing else, just like, let's be really mindful of where that comes from. And it absolutely comes from men needing to hide and then like queer men like feeling unsafe. Cause it's like, I talk like this. I'm sort of an adult male Muppet and I don't like feeling like, oh, so now I have to like think about the way I behave in a queer space because we've all decided queer men need to act like toxic masculine bozos. Like, that's a turnoff for me.
That's so interesting. And I wonder too, like how much of that is a function of like queer men kind of consume really in a lot of ways the same media as like straight men. Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. how much of that does sort of seep into their own identity about themselves. And like when you have a culture that is like so masculine because it's so many men, like how mm-hmm. that can almost become like an exaggerated version of that toxic masculinity.
Totally. Totally. It's a weird echo chamber, maybe, to use a word that may or may not pertain to this. But yeah, there's something really weird going on there. And I'm like, I've never really participated in that sort of world. So I mean, like, I and it doesn't seem like it's very beneficial because I can't. Everyone who's doing that is either like, I don't know, like denying themselves of some real form of expression or cheating on their wife. Like, I don't know. Both seem bad.
It's yeah. icky. It feels icky, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. We can move on, but I have to say, in Amsterdam, I met such a man who, I went into a bar called Dirty Dicks, which, what an advertisement. And it wasn't possessive. This wasn't mm-hmm. Dick's Place. It was just the noun. Dirty Dicks.
They weren't like, Dirty Dicks is buying us all around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, welcome to, here are some Dirty Dicks.
Yep, Dirty Dicks, anyway, and don't wash your hands.
Yes, and I met a man there who was gleary and like, he was almost transfixed by my need to not glare and sneer. And he told me, he was like, really? And you like feel comfortable like talking and expressing yourself? And he was a man from Texas who sneaks around on his wife
has
rationalized it because he's like, well, this way I can still keep my marriage and daughter in the same, I can keep my family right. together while doing sexually wild things. And I was like, okay, dude.
Like, whatever floats your boat, but keep that shit out of Dirty Dicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is a classy place at Dirty Dicks.
Oh, my God.
Wild. Wild, wild, wild.
Man, yeah. I imagined him in a black cowboy hat. Like a villainous cowboy hat as he has the white one when he's home with his wife and he puts on the black one when he's out cruising the town.
It was terrible. He was awful. So yeah, get rid of that. Throw that away.
That sounds good. It's in the trash.
Good.
Okay. Mono, last question.
Okay.
You always got to ask this one. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, man. Okay. I want God to say this. When I show up, I want God to say this. I want God to look at me and be like, you were so stressed. Like, in a way that makes me go, yeah, what was I doing? Like, yeah.
Do you want some tea? What can we do? Just, that's over now.
Yeah. Sounds like the beginning of a good God porno, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God, there's tension.
Yeah, let me see those shoulders. Oh, my God.
Hey, they are the pearly gates.
Hey.
No, I really would love that if God was just like really relaxed and checked in and like, yeah, ready to hang out with me and just like kind of like validate that there was no need for me to worry about all that stuff. You know?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Mono.
And it's time for Lady Problems. If you have one, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
I love that. Oh, I love that.
Get him with the double whisper.
I didn't anticipate the second whisper. That's so great. That was beautiful. Truly, I love that.
Thank you.
Hey, ladies. This is Chloe. Big fan, came from the MFM crew, currently have COVID. But I wanted to talk about my lady problem. Didn't think I would have one, but then I realized, holy shit, I do. I'm 23. I'm currently a nurse, registered nurse, and I'm moving down south to be with my boyfriend. And I'm so nervous about it. And he's been down there for two years now. And he kind of already has like a group of friends, but I have a group of friends like up where I am. I have to say goodbye to them and leave them. And then it's just like, I know he's the one, but I'm just like worried and like, how do I make friends down there? How do I know I'm making the right decision? And I'm so excited to live with him and so excited to start this life, but like a part of me is still like so scared for that new change. Anyway, just wanted your advice. Any advice would be awesome. I'm sure there's a bunch of people that can relate to this, but also love you. Thank you so much for getting me through nursing school and my first nursing job. And shout out to healthcare workers of all kinds. You guys are amazing. Bye. Love you.
Aww. Aww, thanks, Chloe, yeah, for being Chloe. Amazing.
Oh, that was really cute.
I know. She's great. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it'd be weird if you weren't a little scared, right? Uh-huh. If she was just like blindly like, this is going to be perfect. I'd be more worried if you were doing that. Like, yeah, it's a natural feeling.
Totally natural. I wish I knew where down south, like what state. Not to follow her, but to like,
but just like, yeah, like how big of a town that, you know, stuff like that is obviously going to determine like a little bit more how you're going to make friends and stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you sound awesome. Like the thing is, I don't think
you sound cool.
She's going to have a hard time making friends. Like it's just going to be natural. You're going to meet people, you know.
Well, and like she works in healthcare. I feel like there's a lot of young nurses. Like, I think that she'll probably be able to meet people her age through work. And then, not that you want, like, your whole social network to be through the boyfriend, but I'm sure the boyfriend has, like, friends of friends and shit like that you're going to kind of meet down there, too.
And, like, my blanket advice is, like, you have to be, like, I sometimes can do this where I can trick my brain into being, like, just being, like, how do I put this? Like, sometimes when I'm, like, going to, like, talk to strangers, like, even at a bar, I almost pretend like, it sounds so weird, I pretend like I'm a kid at an adult party in terms of that, like, if they get where I'm coming from, they're cool, and if they don't, they're boring.
Yeah.
Right. That's good.
You know, so, like, just, like, get in the headspace of, like, I'm going to put myself out there, and if these people get me, awesome. If they don't, they're just too boring for me. So, like, just go ahead and be in that headspace of, like, you're gonna put yourself out there, and if people get you, it's they're fucking lucky to get you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Prepare a magic trick of some kind to show. Be like, to walk into a party and be like, look what I can do.
Yes. And then, like, maybe the corny advice is, like, do things that young adults have to do to, like, kind of connect with people. Like, is it sound so lame to, like, take an improv class, take a pottery class? I don't know.
We always tell people always take classes. Yeah, we love classes. Like,
yeah, and like really, and I know LA is a little bit different because, you know, you're like working with people in the industry and stuff here, but there's so many people who I met like through a random thing that I did that I still know years later and mm-hmm. still friends with, and like they come back to your life in weird ways sometimes. So I think, yeah, just kind of putting yourself out there and yeah, maybe taking any kind of class really, like when you get there, if you have the time and means to do it, will definitely help you kind of like help the place feel a little smaller too. I think that can be overwhelming, like when you move to a new place.
Yeah, totally. Classes or like volunteering or, you know, like anything like that. That just is like, oh, this is stuff I'm interested in. Or meet mm-hmm. people that are doing it.
Yeah, like a neighborhood group. You know, there's like a neighborhood group in my neighborhood that does a trash like cleanup once a month. Like there's just so much stuff you can find.
Yeah, running, you know, club
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Happy hour. I mean, like I also am like, if you drink like I am, I love going to bars by myself. You meet people so fast at a bar by yourself. Like it is not a problem.
I recently hung out with a very weird libertarian couple for hours. I met at a bar. Yeah, they were very crazy, but it was really fun. And like, you know, yeah, sometimes just go sit there and like see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Let the life come to you. It will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It will. And also, I just
don't
feel
be afraid
like,
to ask your partner. Don't be afraid to ask your partner to be like set up something social for me to do with your mm-hmm. friends and their friends.
That's smart. Yeah, you that's know, really smart. Like, yeah.
I don't know if his friends have, you know, female friends and female partners or whatever, but it's like anything to help create a little bit of that safety net. Yeah. It's okay to ask your partner to be like, set something up for us to do together. Do it.
And the guy, the dude might, let's be honest, not be thinking about that. Like you should explicitly.
You've got to put that out for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also like, I just feel like also acknowledge like your flight or fight system is in action right now because you're moving. Like that is such chaos on your brain. Like mm-hmm. those kind of transitions just send your whole nervous system into whack. So I feel like a lot of these feelings are just probably like simple, like almost like brain chemistry of like you're going through like an awkward transitions are naturally awkward. Like it's kind of like uncomfortable to go from one place to the next. So like you don't need to attribute like all of that to like, oh, it's going to be like that the whole time I'm there. A lot of that could be like just moment you're in right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in flux.
Yeah, and I think you sound like you're in a great position. Like, I think we mm-hmm. get a lot of calls from people who might be considering moving to where their partner is who are not sounding as positive about it as you are. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a little scary or we're like, oh, you know, but it sounds like you know it's what you want to do. It's mm-hmm. just the, you know, technicalities of like obviously moving and friends and stuff like that, which are big deals. But it does sound like overall it is something that you want. So, like, that's great. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, as somebody that has toured like all over the South and stuff, I don't know how familiar you are, like where your boyfriend's from or whatever. It's like there are cool pockets of people and counterculture shit everywhere. You
totally.
Know? If like you're just like, oh, that's it. Like, you know, might be like, I don't know that, you know, Arkansas, I don't know what the hell. But it's like there's going to be cool pockets of people that live there. And, you know, and you can find those. They're out there.
Totally. This sounds so weird. I'll go to a farmer's market.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. People are chatty at a farmer's market, like in a way that seems like more approachable and easy, like mm-hmm. to like just kind of meet more people.
Yeah. That's kind of like
a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Speaking of farmer's markets, I love supporting farmers.
Yeah.
What's coming?
Was anyone else? Like, frankly, shocked the first time they went to a farmer's market and saw how expensive shit was.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not shocked, but definitely like taken aback. Like, oh, okay. That's okay. Wow. Yeah. That is expensive. Okay.
Like, okay.
I don't think I've noticed how expensive it is, but maybe I'm only buying like two things.
I feel like it's pretty expensive at the farmer's market.
It's like Whole Foods-y prices, I think. In that category.
Right. Because like, they probably also have to pay for the slot that they have at the place.
I think so. Like, so I guess what I'm saying is, like, you're paying for it. Like, have that social experience.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Wear a sun hat. Make it be known that you are on the town looking for friends.
Eat all the samples. Eat the samples.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, maybe go to a Costco, meet all the sample ladies. That could be your friend group. That could be fun.
Aww, yes. Look, if you're in the market for a dog, rescue a dog, get to the dog park, make friends that way.
Mm-hmm. And also let your partner know that, like, you want to do, like, I think it's completely reasonable to be like, I want to do, like, I'm not just moving there so we can like get stuck in our apartment or whatever. Yeah. We're going to do fun stuff. We're going to go out to dinner. Like, I really think it's important in that first month to like go out to dinner, go see a movie, go do some fun, weird stuff, find a haunted house. Like, I think it's important to like quickly make some moves that make you feel like you're living in the city and not just living in your apartment.
Yes.
What do you guys think about this move for meeting friends? Get a tandem bicycle and then go to the park and be like,
would anybody?
Anybody?
I'm
this
obsessed.
Is just a Kermit looking for a piggy, if anybody.
Yeah. I think it's like right above have a bird on your shoulder in terms of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is things perking, that perching pet energy.
Will be, yeah, it'll be off-putting to the majority of people, but that one in 1,000, that Lady Gaga 1,000 people in the room.
If nothing else, you can get the dirt-filled mannequin and put it on the bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe get a mannequin, walk around with it, and then on where its head should be, have a sign that said, your face here. And that. Picture us. What do you think?
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
All great suggestions. But yeah, Chloe, you're great. You've got it, obviously. I'm excited for you. You're in a really cool part of your life. 23, you're moving to 24. A new place. Yeah. Like, you're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And right, good luck.
Yeah. All right, we got one more.
Hey, ladies. So I'm calling in with a lady problem. My boyfriend drinks way too much soda. And I don't know how to help him with this. I'm not a big soda drinker. I enjoy a soda from time to time. But he's drinking, like, 2 cans of soda every night at home. Let alone whatever sodas he's drinking during the day at work and whatever. I mean, we all have our vices. I vape and he doesn't. So, like, I just, you know, everyone's got their thing. I get it. But, like, it's too much. Too much soda. And I don't want to be that naggy girlfriend who tells him what to do or what he can't do. And so, I don't know. How can I, like, in a cool way, in a cool girlfriend way, approach him and about his soda habit? Any advice is welcome.
I mean, if you're only seeing 2 cans a day, that's not that much. I mean, obviously, no. If he's drinking more. But
yeah, she's calling because it's probably, I have a few, like, this is probably, whatever. It's probably a lot of soda.
I'm trying to think, like, if my boyfriend was doing that, I guess I would notice, but like, I'm wondering if it's affecting his other things. Like, is it affecting his teeth? Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, that in and of itself is like, it's not probably the healthiest for him, but I'm wondering if it's like making him like look worse, like, or something.
Can he go to sleep at night because he has too much caffeine? Like, you know, like what are the physical effects of the soda?
Or maybe is this a guy that, like, she sees, you know, getting married to, and it's like the soda is rotting your guts out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just want to point that out there. Like, your liver is Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's diet or regular. I'm very curious.
I was curious about that, too. Yeah. What are you guys thinking? Are you thinking that it's so different?
I think it's regular. I think it's regular.
Soda.
I think she's worried about sugar. I think she's worried about like the sugar aspect.
Really?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
In my head, most people that drink a fuck ton of soda drink diet though.
Yeah, that is true, because it makes you want.
That's like, true. It's
kind of, yeah.
So,
my unhelpful joke answer is go to him and be like, "This is nasty. You like this? This fucking tastes like shit, dude." This shit is disgusting.
This is what God's saying at the pearly gates. Yeah. This is nasty.
Dude, are you fucking serious? Okay, so then my real answer is, God, it is so hard because I don't like soda. So, like, I feel very confused by people who are obsessed with soda. Mm-hmm. And this is such a dumb answer, but can we get him on seltzers?
I had the same thought.
I think that was the same thought. Seltzer,
I think we need,
like,
the gateway.
Seltzer is the answer.
Drug.
Seltzers, and maybe even make it a game by, like, buying, I'm sorry, this might be a little pricey, but like going to a Target or Walmart and buying like a bunch of different seltzers and making it a game a little bit to be like, ooh, maybe you like this one, maybe you like this one, maybe you like this one. And then be like, isn't it fun to taste different things? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the bubbly? Is it the flavor? Is it the caffeine? Like, what is the thing that he is, like, jonesing for the most off of these?
Yeah.
Yeah, because sodas? That's a great question, because we can certainly parcel those things out into different delivery systems.
Yeah.
Like, we can get the bubbles from the seltzer. We can get this guy on coffee or tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, maybe one of those soda making machines. Because, and I could be way off on this, but like, is there a world where when you make your own soda, it not only makes it, could make it less crazy sweet sugary, but also maybe it could make you more on like aware of how sweet something you're drinking is?
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
it makes you more accountable. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it also won't taste as good.
Right.
Yeah.
Get him off the stuff.
Yeah. I think the seltzer thing, like, because Sean doesn't really drink seltzer, but I do. And so he doesn't drink soda either. But I will, if I like buy a bunch of seltzer, I will notice him cracking one every once in a while if I just have them in the fridge to offer. Mm-hmm. So maybe at first it's just a matter of like, no, excuse me. You know your own like seltzer taste. Like, go to the store and buy some bomb ass seltzers. Put those babies in the fridge and see if he bites.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think you should enter them into the home so he doesn't, they're not unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Gently
introduce them. I mean, look, there's, so I don't know if you guys have seen Water Talk. It's the water side of TikTok.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Nope.
It's a whole.
I'm going to have some water right now.
It is a whole thing, because a lot of it is honestly garbage, where it's people doing a ton of additives and like weird shit that they're adding to their water.
Oh, yeah.
But some of it is, you know, people doing really fun recipes and recipe, quote unquote, you know, where it's seltzer and fruit and like, you know, good, not bad
mocktails.
For you versions
like
of it, basically, mm-hmm. but not like as sweet. Yeah. So I think you can make it really fun for him, like fruit infused. Just try like,
oh, yeah.
Different fun things. And also, if worse comes to worse, try it. Though they have those water enhancer things that like a lot of people use to drink more water if they really hate it, you know?
Yeah.
So I know it's not like the best option, but it is something that like I've seen people use when they like really need to transition out of like an unhealthy habit, you know?
Were we assuming he just doesn't drink water at all then? So does
I don't like, know. I'm just like thinking, I was just thinking of the water talk.
I think
it.
if we're this doesn't sound like a big water drinker.
Yeah.
And then this, I don't know if this is, okay, I'm going to pitch it. But like, is there a way to also like incentivize even the Coke? Being like, can you drink a Coke after you have 120 fluid ounces of water? Like, is there a way to like pair it together of like, cool, now that you had this much water, maybe now you can have Coke. I don't
you
know.
You need like an invention, like a Goldberg machine where when he finishes the water and like.
Right. Right.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if, I know like it can be weird to give your partner rules, but maybe there's a way to be like, I just genuinely think you need to be drinking water instead. So maybe get here and then have a Coke. And then maybe that might naturally make this person drink less soda because they're making more room for real water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. That's important. And I do want to point out a couple of things. If this is his caffeine delivery system, as a severe caffeine addict, that is no laughing matter, okay? And he's good, like, that is serious. Like, you're gonna have to get into tea or coffee or something. Like, you can't just expect this man to give up caffeine. And number two, just to counter everything we just said, if it was me, I would probably just let the soda go because I would never want to hear fuck all about my vaping.
Okay. Let's hear more about that.
Yes.
I mean, like, so if someone said that to you, you'd be like, shut the fuck up. Leave me alone.
What's that?
So if someone, so you like vaping?
No, but she does. Like, that's her thing.
She doesn't vape, and she vapes.
Got it.
Yeah, so, like, I think, like, in a relationship, like, I would rather err on the side of, like, I don't want to be nagged about anything, so I try to, like, preemptively un-nag people because everyone has something they don't want to be nagged about. And so if you can create the space for this guy, look, we've established the way that straight men make decisions, yada, yada. It's an uphill battle for him. But if you can just leave him be on his own hydration journey for the most part, plant some seltzer waters for the most part, try to incorporate more water into your lifestyle, sure. But for the most, let him drink the fucking soda, because then if you want to vape your heart out, the next time you guys are at an airport and you're going to miss your flight and you're like, but I want to vape really bad, and he won't fucking be able to say anything. You're going to get to go vape.
Wow, this is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's actually the answer. Yeah.
I do just wonder, like, if it's indicative of, like, make you not attracted to him because it's like an immature thing to do? I just am wondering where exactly it's coming from. If it's a health thing, or it's probably a health thing, but, you know, I would just kind of try to look at that part of it too, because it seems like it's indicating something that you're like worried about that's not just straight up drinking soda.
Mm-hmm. And like, I don't drink alcohol, so I don't know the answer to this, but like, is like having two glasses of wine or like two mixed drinks or something, like, is that normal on a night? Like, is like if you had two sodas, if you had two glasses of wine, is that kind of a comparable thing?
That's more like probably of a Friday thing. I mean, that's like, I wouldn't really have,
having two glasses of wine every, or two drinks every night.
That's
a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Literally don't know. So, okay.
Yeah. I'm just establishing. I think I'm going to open like a scared straight for soda addicts, because
it's real.
It's such a thing. It is an epidemic. And I this is not fair, but I just think soda's disgusting.
I like it, but I like, it's a treat. Like, I have it like occasionally. Yeah. If I go to like a fast food place, I get a kid's size. Like, I'm very just like,
yes,
I like it, but it like very sparingly.
Yes. I mean, enjoy it. But yeah, if it's a daily habit, you gotta look in the mirror and go, I can do better. I think I can do better.
Maybe you could do that. He could do that scared straight. I was watching an old season of, Biggest Loser, which is extremely problematic as a TV show, but you know, they do those things where they're like, here, carry this many pounds of sugar. That's how many pounds of sugar you eat in a year. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Honestly, I kind of live for that. What if it's like visually, like just visually, we're going to look at how much sugar you're having a day.
I mean, it probably would be, that would be insane to do to your partner, but.
I know. I don't want to like shame someone for food, because that sucks.
But I know. Like, I just, I've muted somebody I went to high school with because they wouldn't stop posting like, one slice of pizza is two aerobics classes. I was just like,
No. Pizza's life-giving. Pizza's wonderful.
Absolutely. I know. Yeah. My mom is a big soda drinker, which my mom like doesn't drink. Like, my whole family drinks coffee except my mom. And she like is a retired teacher. She used to wake up at the crack of dawn and crack open her room temp Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And just sip that bad boy on her commute. Especially. And like, it's not for me, but like, there is a part of me that's like, if that feels as good to you as like a cup of hot coffee feels to me in the morning, like,
yeah. And like, what are you getting from that soda in that moment? Is this just like if a soda is like your end of the day, like, okay, I worked all day, I'm having two sodas, that's the end of my night. Okay, then relax, like transitioning into relaxing is the thing that you're trying to do. Just, do you need soda to do it? Like, what is the action that the soda is part of? Like, is he playing video games while he's drinking soda? Is that like his, I'm fully unplugging thing? Yeah, I bet you they kind of go hand in hand to some degree.
Yeah, I remember like that.
My freshman year of college, like, I lived in like a co-ed dorm, and like all my guy friends were all on one floor, and they all decided that they were going to quit drinking Mountain Dew together. And it was very cute watching like 12 guys try to quit Code Red and support each other through the process, because they were
all really that addicted.
Yeah, they were all super addicted. Because if you stay up late, like, you know, like playing video games and stuff, it's like soda's what you're going to be drinking as a kid. So, like, that's your, like, happy, you know, because this was before energy drinks were really even a thing.
Yeah, Mountain Dew was, like, the original, like, caffeinated.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about caffeine, my God, have you had green tea. Matcha or Saincha?
Those are such, like,
a madman.
If you have a soda, like, palate you know, tea is a harsh.
What about?
And I think it's. I think that you should do it, but I feel like it's, you know, it's a different.
Yeah. Bargain. Sorry, guys. I'm still back on. You only live once. He's gonna drink the soda. I don't know. We all have, like, we all just watch someone else slowly disintegrate themselves to death, and it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's fair. That is
That's
fair.
That's what kind of we're all watching each other do anyway.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, it is. I don't get it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, also, like, if you do push on him too much, then he's just going to be secretly drinking sodas in the garage. It's like, if this is the worst problem in your relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
This is somehow the hardest question I've ever asked. This has really knocked me on my ass.
Yeah, this is not like dump him, girl.
Really tough. Really tough.
Well, yeah, maybe like I like a soda with pizza or burgers. And like if it's like that's like when I get a soda and I don't really get it any other time. So maybe there's like stuff that he's like, oh, it's like this is when it's
associated.
Fucking
treat. Yeah. It's like coffee and a cigarette. It's like the associated flavor.
Coffee
and
cigarette is so good. Can I tell you guys?
So good.
Speaking of college, did I ever tell you this about my super caffeinated coffee that I made in college? Do you remember when they made caffeinated water?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
I made a pot of coffee. I used caffeinated water. And then I crushed Nodos into the coffee grinds.
Oh my God.
I know. I just love drugs. I don't know.
I'm guilty. And God, that's really crazy. I did the same thing in college. I would drink caffeine until I got jittery because I wanted the jitters.
Yeah, so. I like that feel. I still like that feeling of like I might jump out of my skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Well, Mono, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, y'all are so damn fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find you live, where they can find your podcast, all of that.
Yeah. So follow me at Mono Agapian wherever you're really Instagram. I'm not going to lie to you and say I'm on anything else. And listen to my podcast. I do a drag race podcast that the ladies have been on. I do a drag race podcast called Drag Her Podcast, everywhere you get pods. I do a spooky podcast that will be on Earwolf Presents all throughout October. Very exciting. Me and Betsy Sodaro improvised some spooky movies.
Oh my God, I love it.
Ooh, I love
that. It's fun. Definitely go listen to that. And then if you love diving even deeper, follow me and Betsy's Patreon. We love trash.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much. And we will see you guys, or you'll hear us, next week.
Bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hello, ladies. Good morning. I am an aunt, and I'm 12 years older than my niece. And let me tell you that my cool radar definitely depends on how she's feeling about me in that week. So some days she'll really talk to me, or like some weeks she'll really talk to me, some weeks not so much. I do my best to not blow her up, even though some of my self-esteem comes from the way she feels about me. I don't know what that says about me, but being a cool aunt does make you feel cool in life. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, ladies. It's the confrontational girl from the last Lady Problem. I just wanted to thank you for your advice and for listening to my Lady Problem and to set the record straight on what my sign is. I am, in fact, a Libra. But my brother is an Aries, and he's one of my prime sparring partners when it comes to fighting. So maybe you're picking up on some of that Libra Aries energy. All right. Thanks again and bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.